The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Well, it looks like there's a slight communication problem with Russ. We can't quite hear him. Russ, we cannot hear you. We cannot hear Russ. Okay, we'll see what we can do about this, and we'll get back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, June 18th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. President of the U.S. Marijuana Party, William A. Chengalis, better known to marijuana law reformers as Wayward Bill, has been arrested on charges of distribution of a dangerous controlled substance by Washington, D.C. federal police, according to reports from Denver's John Doe Radio. Tim Martin reports that Chengalis and federal marijuana patient Irvin Rosenfeld were initially detained, but Rosenfeld was soon released without arrest. Chengalis is scheduled for a bond hearing this afternoon on charges of allegedly passing a cannabis-medicated candidate to a patient on federal property, according to Martin. According to Normal, under federal law, distribution of a small amount of marijuana for no remuneration is treated as possession. The penalties for first-time possession under federal law are a misdemeanor with a possible 1 year in prison and $1,000 fine. Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum endorses bill legalizing medical marijuana outlets, this from OregonLive.com. A bill that would legalize medical marijuana retail outlets in Oregon has snagged a high-profile endorsement, Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum. Rosenblum sent a letter this month to Senator Floyd Prezansky, Democrat of Eugene, and Representative Peter Buckley, Democrat of Ashland, urging them to pass HB 3460 legislation that would create a registry of state-licensed medical marijuana retail outlets. Oregon already is home to a booming medical marijuana retail industry, where the state's estimated 53,000 patients can walk into a club or collective with cash and walk out with cannabis. Those establishments are not regulated or licensed by the state. She wrote, quote, "These facilities operate in a climate of uncertain legality, and the absence of a clear regulatory structure makes ensuring compliance with the law difficult," end quote. Rosenblum added that the bill would ensure that anyone with a valid Oregon medical marijuana card would, quote, "be able to obtain medical marijuana safely, predictably, promptly, and legally." New Hampshire nears approval of medical marijuana law, from Reuters.com. New Hampshire is set to become the final state in New England to allow medical marijuana after negotiators from the Republican-controlled Senate and Democratic-controlled House agreed Tuesday on a bill backed by Governor Maggie Hassan. The law would allow for up to 4 marijuana dispensaries to open as soon as 2015. Patients with cancer, HIV, glaucoma, and other diseases would be eligible to purchase the drug with state-issued identity cards. A provision in a version of the bill passed by the New Hampshire House that would have allowed patients to cultivate their own marijuana was stripped from the compromise bill, said Matt Simon, a New Hampshire-based legislative analyst for the Marijuana Policy Project. The compromise bill also bars the use of medical marijuana for treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and limits most medical providers to treating 5 medical marijuana patients at any one time. Medical cannabis patients will rally in Olympia to save medical cannabis in Washington State, from the San Juan Islander.com. Residents that use cannabis as medicine from all over the state of Washington will be gathering in Olympia at the Capitol campus Wednesday, June 19th, and their message is clear. Medical cannabis patients are angry about an amendment that was quietly slipped into the state Senate and House budget bills that would put the control of their medical fate in the hands of the state Liquor Control Board. The amendment could fundamentally change every section of the state's current medical cannabis laws. These regulations would include limits on age, the amount of medication a patient could have, which conditions would qualify, where they could get their medication, and who could actually grow it. The Liquor Control Board has already stated publicly that they believe the tax-free status of cannabis as a medication would be a threat to the Liquor Control Board's projected revenue stream from recreational marijuana sales. Current state law does not tax medications that require a health care provider's signature. This law could single out cannabis as the only medication in the state targeted for taxation. Drug testing for food stamps and 10 other GOP amendments to the Farm Bill, from MSNBC.com. The House of Representatives takes up debate on the Farm Bill Tuesday, which in its current form cuts $20.5 billion from the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, better known as food stamps. Those cuts are already estimated to end benefits for about 2 million people who are already part of the program, but some of the amendments proposed by Republicans could make it even harder for many more Americans to get access to the assistance they need. Many Republicans have pushed for a drug testing requirement for welfare recipients in recent years, and North Carolina Republican Richard Hudson is the lead co-sponsor on an amendment that would allow all states to create the same requirement for food stamp recipients as well. Missouri's Ann Wagner is leading on an amendment to extend a lifetime ban on food stamp benefits for dangerous felons. Republican Austin Scott of Georgia thinks that amendment doesn't go far enough and introduces one that adds drug-related felony to the reasons to deny food stamps for life. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, June 18th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to look at hemp in the state of Maine. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Stricken by an illness, injury, or disability, you deserve to live your life as free from pain and suffering as possible. Modern medical researchers have developed some amazing pharmaceutical drugs, but these may not be the best solution for you. At Alternative Medical Choices, we help collect your medical records history and provide a physician's review and examination to help you qualify for the use of medical marijuana in Oregon and Washington State. Call 971-270-0262 or visit altmedchoices.com for more information and to schedule an appointment today. Alternative Medical Choices, because you deserve the best in healthcare.
On an all-new intervention.
Mark, welcome home.
Please, come.
Join us.
Mark hasn't smoked weed in about 10 days, and I'm worried about him. I can't watch him destroy himself.
I'm fine, okay? This is none of your business.
Shh. Come, Mark. We're only here because we care.
I'm in control. That's what they don't get, is that I can start smoking weed anytime that I want to. I just don't feel like it right now.
At first, he was, you know, just skipping a day here and there. But then it got more and more consistent, and then he just wasn't smoking any weed at all.
Mark, we haven't smoked a joint together in like 3 weeks, man. I don't know who you are anymore. Your short-term memory is incredible.
You know, I just can't sit back and watch someone destroy their own lives with horrible decisions.
See you guys. Stupid, I'm getting out of here.
Hey,
Mom, don't touch me!
It hurts me a lot, you know? What do you do for someone that you care about that is ruining their own life? What do you do?
He's not showing any signs of starting.
Intervention on A&E.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Play more, play more if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Fire it up. Play more, play more if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Pull it, boys, a man. Play more, play more if you can. You're looking for the dope weed.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And today I was taking a look at some of the headlines coming out of the state of Maine, where they have just recently passed a bill that amends their current hemp law. You know, a lot of states across the United States have a law that allows for the growing of industrial hemp. But the problem with the law in many cases is that it requires them to get permission from the federal government, right?
Well, it looks like we're having some technical difficulties with the call. We're going to try and get Russ back on the line here for this segment. Just bear with us.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently on...
Okay, fine. Well, looks like Russ is dipped out of signal range, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break with some 10-foot ganja plant. So, enjoy. We'll be back soon.
Trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message.
I'm so messed up. What do I do? Should I call a taxi cab or risk a DIU? This won't be the first time that I've had to choose. I'm so messed up. What do I do? She's got buck teeth. She's got big bones.
That's some Chief Greenbud there with I'm So Messed Up. Kind of like our internet connection with Russ at the moment. That's what happens when you're out on the road sometimes. But we'll get Russ back as soon as we can. Enjoy a little bit of music, and then we'll have a nice break here soon.
When I do those shots, I don't know when to stop. Judge not, dear friend, it ain't my fault. I prefer the reefer to that demon alcohol. Sometimes I can't help myself. Jack Daniels got the fruit. I'm so messed up.
Well, I think by now most of you should know what that sound means. It's 420 somewhere, so fire up if you got it.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky roller ring, roller ring, roller ring.
Go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Okay, well,
Thank you, Brian, for taking care of things there. We had the internet crap out on us here. You there, Brian?
Yeah, I was just, I noticed I missed a call from Bacon Dan on my cell phone, so I'm not sure if he's going to be calling in. I'm going to try and get him on the line for us real quick to get the intro for this Daily Toker tune.
All right, and my apologies to folks. We were out here on a Verizon wireless connection that was doing just fine, and then it did its whole you're connected, but you're not on the internet thing. It's like, well, thank you for that. So we had to drop off of that. We're trying to get back on T-Mobile now as far as bringing this connection, but apparently not giving us enough strength for video. So we're going audio only here.
Hey, Bacon Dan.
Hey.
We're here ready for our intro for our Daily Toker tune, bud.
Oh, perfect. Well, today we're going on a little bit of a different key, if you can put it that way, a little bit away from the dance music and still with a cover of a very great band out of the Norwegian metal scene. They actually are all heavy metal singers of Norwegian and Finnish death metal bands, but they also cover 80s songs.
Nice. Huh. So, what do we got here for our tune?
We have got the Northern Kings with Take On Me.
All right, well, this should be good. Bacon Dan's tune for today, Northern Kings, Take On Me. Enjoy.
Fun just to play my worries away. You're all the things I've got to remember, shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on me. Take me on while we go.
Sergeant Craig Simpson.
There are other tests which officers can perform that may help them to make this determination. Tests such as one called lack of convergence, which looks to see whether or not a person is able to cross their eyes. Marijuana is a drug that prevents a person from being able to cross their eyes. Interestingly, it is the only drug category that doesn't allow a person to cross their eyes and also does not allow the person to exhibit a jerkiness of their eye. So it's a unique drug in that sense. That is the only one to provide that influence.
There is peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, I am live here at the Lax Lounge in Tempe, Arizona. Hey, guys, make some noise. Let them know you're real. Yay, we're here at the Lax Lounge. So this is like legitimately a real cannabis community chat. So I'm just hanging out here with a bunch of patients, and they got a TV on here. They're showing, is this Jackass 1, 2, or 3 that we're watching? 2.5. Oh, see, that's how out of touch I am, man. So we're watching Jackass 2.5. Good stuff here. And just hanging out with the crew. I got to meet, and I don't know how much anybody wants to be identified, but we're only on audio, so nobody can see you as to what's going on. Johnny's cool, right? All right, Johnny Ruhr is here. We'll give him a mic first here. Johnny and I met last night. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm good, Russ. How you doing?
Thanks to you. I'm fantastic.
Well, thanks for having us be a part of the show.
We were talking last night about how Arizona's kind of got this parallel system going on where there's like, you know, people that register and go to the state dispensaries, and then there's the other side. Tell the audience, I mean, what we were talking about last night as far as that difference.
Well, as far as the state regulated dispensaries go, they have a system installed online where you can go check for patient identification.
Right.
You make sure that the patient's legal and they actually have their card and everything is legal.
Right.
They report what you purchase through online. So every 2 weeks you can only have, or every, is it? It's every two weeks. Yeah. It's yeah. 2.5 ounces that you can
right.
have.
Similar to what they put in the air. They put that just in the Illinois bill too. So this is happening in other states.
Yes. But there's also, there's the patient to patient that you can do. As long as you don't receive any reimbursement,
right?
We are legally allowed to give each other medicine.
Right.
So, and since you're out of state and we accept out of state recs, I can legally give you medicine.
And Arizona's one of the few states that does that too, that has reciprocity.
We're pretty lucky as long as
that. So is the 2.5 ounce limit, is that even if you're not, I mean, if you're going patient to patient, does that apply?
It does, but there's no way they can really track it.
Because there's no database or tracking.
Exactly.
The other major difference you're telling me is just one of economics. It's like expensive at these state places.
Yes, yes, yes. Because they spend all the money to go out and do the research, and
yeah.
they fly their crew out to California, and they fly them out to Colorado to check out those dispensaries, and they spend all the money to put them up in hotels, and you know, I'm sure they fly nice and they're not staying at Motel Sixes, and all the patients have to pay for that cost.
And because, what's the cost per year?
$70 okay. Eighth is the going rate. Ooh. for good flowers.
Wow.
Yeah, and they grow it all themselves, so you know that they're not paying for it, they're not taking taxes on it. They're taking the tax from the state, but
sure,
it's pretty cheap for them to produce it. Yet they charge an arm and a leg to patients who are really sick, most of them who don't have, you know, who can't work normal jobs and who can't supply or can't afford that kind of expensive medicine.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that our opponents do all the time is they want to characterize medical marijuana, and they'll say, you know, the average medical marijuana patient in California is a 32-year-old white male. And I don't know why white makes any difference, but it's a 32-year-old white male with a history of cocaine and meth and blah, blah. They make all these, you know, stereotypes. And I'm looking around the room here, and I'm probably the oldest guy in the room. I'm not sure. I'm 45, but I may be the oldest guy in the room. So what is it about medical marijuana that seems to be, you know, more young people using it? I mean, in your mind?
Well, half of them, it's a way of around the legal system, of course,
yeah.
Not to worry about ending up in jail for enjoying, you know, something that's naturally grown from the ground.
Sure.
And it's just safe, you know.
Right.
It's peace of mind, and everybody uses it for medicinal reason, whether it's recognized by the state or not. It's very preventative, and you know, everything that goes along with it. So
is it, I mean, do you think more older people would use it if it didn't have so much stereotype and stigma associated with it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely going more mainstream.
Yeah.
And it's okay in the sense that everybody, you know, old timers just smoked weed, but now you have oils coming into the game.
Yeah.
And things are getting a lot more complicated and unsafe as if people aren't doing things properly.
How does Arizona look at concentrates, oils, hash? Does it distinguish in the law? Do you know?
It's written into the law that it's legal as it's used for edibles.
Oh.
So there's really no way they can prove that you're not going to use it for edibles. So
eventually.
Yeah, eventually, of course. I research that once a month to make sure they don't change that. But as far as Arizona goes, yeah, you're legally allowed to have oils and concentrates and all those goodies that go along with it.
Now, I know Arizona, and I reported on this when it was being debated, and I kind of challenged MPP on this, but mm-hmm. you've got the 25-mile halo rule. You can't grow if you're within 25 miles of dispensary. How's that affected, you know, your community?
As far as patients go, if you had your card before they enacted that rule,
yeah,
you were grandfathered in until your card had to be renewed.
Right.
So until everybody had to renew, nobody really had a problem with it because everybody could still have their plan.
Then all of a sudden cards start tripping. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
Comes up
this
and,
sucks.
Yeah, exactly. So you find patients will move out of the 25-mile radius just to keep their grow. I mean,
wow.
the way that the law works, though, too, is the caregiver can be within the 25-mile radius and they can legally grow for their patient. But the patient has to be outside of that 25-mile boundary. So if you want to drive up to North Arizona and find a bunch of patients who don't grow their own stuff and are willing to just give you their rights to grow, you can grow right next door to the dispensary, but that's not very likely.
So, okay. One of the things that I follow all these states and all these laws, and I find all these unintended consequences, right? So what were they trying to do with 25-mile halo? I have no idea what their purpose of it was, but maybe it was to stop the proliferation of grows in urban areas. But what you just described to me is a mass exodus of patients to the suburbs and the outlying, you know, the hinterlands and the desert, and it's 110 out there.
Yeah.
And then growers still being able to grow in the city limits if they got the patient recs.
Exactly.
So what good did that do?
Nothing.
Oh my God. All right. So what, anything else in the Arizona program, since we're just chatting here, that's just like, that's just nuts.
The accepting out of state recs, I hear is pretty,
it's rare.
Pretty rare. Most people, when they come to town, don't know that.
Yeah.
Don't know that that's okay. If you have your rec in any other state, it's valid here. As long as you're not here for more than 2 weeks, which makes you a resident, then
you're
good. So
I know it seems so odd in medical marijuana laws. I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Right across the border is Vancouver, Washington. And so, you know, there's this Glen Jackson Bridge near the 205. And if I'm a patient standing here, I'm cool. And if he's a patient there, he's cool. But if he crosses the bridge and I cross the bridge, we're criminals.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And we have the same list of conditions for the most part. And
yep.
In most cases, these clinics are even employing the same doctors that can write for both states.
Exactly.
But no, you gotta pay on both sides.
It's and then the sad. Really sad thing is Arizona is really well known for snowbirds. Everybody comes here in the winter because it's cool, but it's not freezing. And what happens is a lot of people come down from Colorado, or they come down from Washington and stuff, and they have their medical card out there.
Sure.
And they'll medicate back home, and they come to Arizona, and they get pulled over, and they get their blood taken, even though they haven't medicated in Arizona, it's obviously still in their blood,
sure.
and they're not a medical patient, so they automatically go to jail.
Ah, so, okay, so this gets into the DUI thing.
Yeah.
So while Arizona recognizes other states' recommendations for the purposes of not busting them for weed, now does Arizona, what's Arizona's DUI as far as patients go?
It's there's no specific nanogram limit,
yeah.
but they... You can get a DUI for having it in your system, but they can't.
In this active THC we're talking about.
Yes, active. Okay. But they can't bust you on just THC alone. They do have to have a substantial amount
okay.
In your system.
Is that the same for non-patients? Is that just a general law or
no,
is there an exception for patients?
Non-patients in Arizona, if you get caught with a seed or a stem in your car, you go straight to jail.
Wow.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Woo.
Yeah, that's a no tolerance state. We're very lucky that Joe Arpaio hasn't gone nuts on us for the medical marijuana. We've been very fortunate.
Yeah, so we are in Sheriff Joe's
yes,
domain.
Sir, we are.
You know, I think I'm illegal under Sheriff Joe's. Just my blood itself is probably. You probably clip my toenails, and there's some controlled substance. You're going to jail. Wow. We are, by the way, folks, we're here at Lax Lounge. Is there any website or contact? Do you guys want people to know to get in touch with you guys?
Lax Lounge at the Instagram, Lax Lounge, Facebook, Lax Lounge, Vapor Club, Lax Lounge, Vapor Club.
When I first saw it, since I fly through California all the time, I'm like LAX Lounge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you got to have like the platinum card to get into that. Man. This is the much better lounge. I've been to those airport lounges. They don't let you smoke weed.
Yeah.
What the hell? What credit limit do I have to have to be able to smoke weed in this damn place? All right.
The Lax Lounge is also no cover. Come and enjoy your medicine. Bring in your own, your own devices to enjoy your medicine with. Hang out with your buddies.
And welcoming to patients from any state.
Yes, sir.
As I can
exactly.
attest.
As long as we can verify your rec, we're
awesome.
Good to go.
All right. Well, this is Lax Lounge. We are in Tempe, Arizona. We are inside where it's cool and humans can actually live. And when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of time for a radical rant. I've got a story out of Montana that is just the ratio of reefer madness to words per paragraph is just incredible. I don't even know if 15 minutes will be enough time to debunk it. So we will take a shot at this. And you should check out the comments on this page. I will get it posted on the blog here pretty soon. But it's pretty amazing. There's some hardcore drug prohibitionists up there in Montana in the replies. Interesting how they can't have a reply without calling you a name, though. They gotta say stoner or pothead. They got to call you names. But when we come back, we'll get to that. You're listening to The Russ Belleville Show on 420radio.org. We're live in Arizona.
Greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department's continuing to put people in jail for sale and use on occasion of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do.
Man, is that the Reefer Man?
That's the Reefer Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belleville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot.
You don't want to turn out to be a loser, like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Tim Lincecum.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? If he says he swam to China and sells you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny reefer man? If he says he walks the ocean anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, the latest bit of Reefer Madness is coming out of the state of Montana. There's an article up. It's entitled, Pot, More Dangerous Than You Know. And it's written by Pat Prendergast, who is the president of the Butte Cares, which is, I imagine, a rehab, and has 20 years of voluntary work experience in abuse prevention. And I just wanted to run down this because it's kind of a nice template. If you've got any of these Reefer Mad editorials in your newspaper, this will provide you a lot of the ammunition you need to take it down. So Pat begins by saying, there is no scientific basis for using smoked marijuana as medicine. No scientific sound studies supporting the medical use of marijuana for treatment in the United States, and no animal or human data supporting the safety and efficacy of marijuana for general medical use, blah, 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 blah. The Food and Drug Administration ruled that smoked marijuana does not meet the modern standards of medicine in the United States, not approved or endorsed by the FDA, the AMA, the MS Society, the Glaucoma Society, the Ophthalmological Society, the Cancer Society, the Pediatric Society. The National Academy of Sciences Institute of Medicine has concluded that smoked marijuana should not be recommended for medical use. All right, class, here's the first part you can divulge from all of this. Notice the constant use of smoked marijuana. Always has to be smoked marijuana, because if you start talking about vaporized, using in tinctures, using in edibles, a lot of the harms that those organizations are against go away. The AMA has got a problem with smoking. It's the smoke. It's the ingestion of the burning carbon in your lungs they got a problem with. The cannabis themselves, in the same reports they're referred to the need to move it out of Schedule 1 and to develop more scientific studies on the efficacy of it, because there's clearly medical use. And the FDA argument, oh, no, safe is Vioxx. Yeah, the FDA has said a whole bunch of things are safe that end up killing a whole bunch of people. You ever see those ads on TV, usually late at night, from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, and they're coming out and they're saying, have you been injured by Avandia? Call our law firm, because there's a class action lawsuit because a whole bunch of people got injured by that drug. You cannot say that of marijuana. All right, let's get to point number two. Marijuana has over 500 components, THC, CBD, etc. I love that. Out of 500, we named two that are medical and non-toxic. Thank you. But it has over 500 components. Well, you know, lead has one component, and it'll kill you. What difference does it make how many components it has? It matters whether it's actually harmful. She goes on to say that it's been proven to increase the risk of cancer, lung damage, and poor pregnancy outcomes. Absolutely false. Actually, the Tashkin study, Dr. Donald Tashkin, a pulmonologist at the University of California, Los Angeles, studied this for 30 years, trying to prove that it caused cancer, and had to admit, look, it doesn't cause cancer. Doesn't, not only does it not cause cancer, pot smokers seem to get less cancer of the lungs. How's that? Amazing. And the poor pregnancy outcomes? Excuse me, Willie Nelson has like seven kids. Tommy Chong's got seven kids. Willie Nelson's got nine kids. Bob Marley's got 11 kids. They all turned out just fine. If it was such poor pregnancy outcomes, we wouldn't have Rastafarians anymore. Get real here. All right, what else do we got? And by the way, this carcinogenic thing. You're going to hear about this. They're going to say, oh, marijuana is carcinogenic. No, the smoke of marijuana is carcinogenic, because any burning carbon gives off a carcinogen. The question is, is it causing cancer? Carcinogens don't necessarily cause cancer when they are counteracted by things like THC and CBD. We don't see cancer rates developing from people that use cannabis alone. Here's a simple analogy. Water contains an explosive gas called hydrogen, and the oxygen all flame needs to burn, but nobody considers water to be flammable or explosive. All right, let's get to these next ones. The use of marijuana under the guise of medicine has led to numerous problems. Affected youth drug use patterns. Wrong. Sorry, just a new study just came out to back up one that was in 2012 and another one from 2004, showing that the states that had legalized the medical use of marijuana had no appreciable change in the youth rates of marijuana or other drug use when you account for factors that include the rising drug use rates of the states that didn't have medical marijuana laws. A direct correlation between medical marijuana and decrease in perception of harm and social disapproval. Gee, what a surprise! When people aren't told that it's going to lead you to heroin and cause man boobs, and then they learn that it's a medicine that helps sick people, they don't think it's as harmful and they don't disapprove of it as much. Gee, what a surprise. All right, let's see. Oh, here's the good one. WOTC, what about the children? Individuals who begin using the drug in their teens have approximately a 1 in 6 chance of developing marijuana dependence. Now, think about that stat for a moment. Imagine wave after wave of teenagers, in the words of Matthew McConaughey from Dazed and Confused, I get older, they stay the same age, right? But wave after wave of senior class coming through, and 1 out of 6 of them allegedly is going to become a marijuana addict. Wouldn't the streets be teeming with marijuana addicts by now? When in actuality, if you look at the demographics of marijuana smoking, it is a bell curve that pops up between 15 and 18. It declines rapidly from 22 to 25 and then levels out from age 30 on. Why does that bubble not continue to travel through the demographics? Because most people that smoke pot only don't go on to use harder drugs. They don't go on to use marijuana very much. All right, what do we got here? Addiction rates among 12 to 17 year olds are the highest levels nationally in the states that have medical marijuana programs. Well, addiction levels, we have to quibble about the definition there. We're talking about whether or not kids are using marijuana, not whether or not they're addicted to it. But am I surprised that more 12 to 17 year olds use marijuana in medical marijuana states? Well, of course not. This is a chicken and the egg problem. It isn't the case that more people smoke pot in those states because of medical marijuana. It's because more people smoke pot in those states, they were sensible enough to pass medical marijuana laws, either because they know that it's going to be good for the sick people or just out of self-preservation to not be arrested. So, of course, there's more pot use in medical marijuana states. What we haven't seen is that the rates of use in the medical marijuana states rising and falling any differently than national rates. Now, this is a big one. You're going to hear this from all the drug warriors time and time again until we finally just beat it out of their heads. Marijuana use negatively impacts adolescent brain development. A recent study showed that those who used cannabis heavily in their teens and continued through adulthood showed a permanent drop in IQ of 8 points. A loss of 8 points could drop a person of average intelligence into the lowest third of the intelligence range. All right. Well, first of all, this study was so highly suspect, it was discredited within the first week it was put out. Another researcher by the name of Ole Rogeberg took a look at the same exact data and ran it through socioeconomic trends and found it was a more likely predictor if you were poor and didn't get great health care that you were going to have the IQ loss, poor and you didn't get great education and you're going to have the IQ loss, than whether or not someone was smoking pot. This whole thing about pot affecting people's brains or IQ loss, I got two words for you. Carl Sagan, man. Carl Sagan. So many intelligent people that are using marijuana because they're intelligent enough to recognize it's less harmful than getting drunk every night or doing other harmful drugs if they want to take a chance to relax here. We've got to just destroy this 8 IQ points. First of all, the study was just ridiculous. And second of all, even if it were true, so what? Do you know what the stats are on the IQ loss of people who binge drink? They're somewhat similar, if not worse. So don't give me this. Just start treating us equally. And if people want to pickle their brains, let them. It's not your job to throw them in jail for that. Now, this next point, and again, we're looking over this. This is in the Montana Standard. It's called Pot More Dangerous Than You Know. And they've got this one here that says, medical marijuana could negatively impact employability. More than 6,000 companies nationwide and scores of industries and professions require a pre-employment drug test. So you shouldn't take this medicine because it might affect your ability to get a job because companies are allowed to discriminate against you. That's not an argument against medical marijuana. That's an argument against pre-employment drug testing. When are we going to get back to the idea of judging people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin? I mean, the content of their urine. It's the same idea here. We are prejudicially discriminating against good law-abiding people merely because they choose marijuana over Marlboros or martinis. All right. States that have fully implemented medical marijuana programs to include dispensaries are experiencing public safety issues. Yeah, I know. I'm terrified. I'm sitting here at a medical marijuana outlet, and the fear of crime right now is overwhelming. I can hardly stop shaking because it's so dangerous here. Dude, driving up here, I wouldn't even known this was like, you know, business park or something, man. These arguments, that's why I like doing these shows from these places and taking some video, because it just destroys all their notions of it's so bad and dangerous. We're just hanging out in a lounge. All right, let's see. Oh, the total overall cost of substance abuse in the U.S., including loss of productivity, health, and crime-related costs, exceeds $600 billion annually. This includes approximately $235 billion for alcohol, $193 billion for tobacco, and $181 billion for illicit drugs. Yes, because alcohol, tobacco, and illicit drugs are toxic and addictive. First of all, you're not going to give me any argument about loss of productivity for marijuana smokers when every company I've ever worked at allowed cigarette smokers a break every 2 hours for 15 minutes to go out and get their nicotine fix. I don't see that happening for weed anytime soon. I also know that most of the pot smokers I ever worked with arrived early and left late at most jobs, worked harder than most of the people there. Tired of that discrimination. And this idea, this is the Sabbat conjecture, that we can't possibly tax something because if we did, it's just going to cost more in public health. Well, guess what? Marijuana's already here. If there are any costs from it, we're paying them now. If there is any productivity loss, it's happening now. It's not like legalizing marijuana invents marijuana. It just takes it out of the shadows, that's all. So if we're already paying a cost, and adding to that by spending money on prohibition, why not take that out of the equation, bring some tax money in, and maybe try and make a profit at this thing? Because I know plenty of people that make a profit on marijuana. It just doesn't go into the public good. It buys a new Xbox game. It puts rims on the car. It buys gold-plated AK-47s for Mexican terrorists. That's what illegal marijuana does. Let's end this. Let's get to legalizing marijuana, treating adults like adults. Here in Arizona, they're doing it. They dropped a legalization initiative. I know they're working hard on that. Support that at Smart Arizona if you can. I think that's their name. Safer Arizona. Safe, sensible, smarter, compassionate Arizona. Whatever they are. Safer Arizona. That's all the time we got here for Hour 1. Thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show, live from Lax Lounge in Tempe, Arizona. Check them out on Facebook. Stay tuned for Hour 2. We're going to hang out, chat a little more. I'll get back to my behind the headlines on hemp. And for Brian the Red out there in Portland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.